Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we ask that you would continue to speak your word, that we would hear your word, and it would bear fruit in our lives to your honor and glory. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Would you please be seated? So when Ash Wednesday falls on Valentine's Day, there are people that have way too much fun and too much time on their hands to come up with some funny things that go around the internet, and so I feel obligated to share a couple of them with you. So here's one. Remember, you are dust. You can't spell Valentine without Lent. That's painful to say out loud, but it's true. The next one here. So there's multiple cards here. One of them I will read to you says, roses are red, violets are blue. Lent is beginning. No chocolate for you. And this next one, happy Valentine's Day. We're all going to die. Which is, in fact, very much the message of Ash Wednesday. So yes, this past Wednesday was Valentine's Day, but in the church calendar it was also, and more importantly, Ash Wednesday, the beginning of the season of Lent. So Lent is an extended season that runs from this past Wednesday, Ash Wednesday, through Holy Week and Easter. And I am going to assume today that some of you here are Lent experts. You get it. You have been through this many times. You understand what it is all about. You have read all the Bible passages. You have heard all the sermons. You never go on autopilot and accidentally say alleluia in the responses in our services. You give things up, not begrudgingly, but with the right heart posture, and you find that tremendously formative. You might even right now begin salivating at the mere mention of chocolate, and you immediately become conscious of your own mortality and promptly turn to the Lord in deep and meaningful prayer, and you long with every fiber of your being for chocolate, and that longing points you to the true meaning of Easter. You are Lent experts. I am also going to assume that there are some of you here who are Lent novices. You figured out that we use a different color in Lent, or you are just noticing that right this second. You've heard that there is something about chocolate, and some people get ashes on their foreheads one day a year. You might not have any idea what in the world I'm talking about, and that is great. So I'm assuming that there are Lent novices here as well, and everyone else is sort of somewhere along that spectrum. And so knowing that, what I want to do today is take a step back, and if you are a Lent expert, to encourage you and to remind you of some of the things that we need to think about so that this season can continue to be God's tool for your growth and your love for the Lord. And if you are a Lent novice, to help give some practical explanation and guidance for something that may be new to you, so that you too can enter into this season and that it could be a way that God works in you for his good purposes, for your life and for his glory. And so if you're somewhere in between those, maybe a little bit of both, some reminders and also some practical guidance and encouragement. So a few days ago, in the Ash Wednesday service, we were invited into the season of Lent with these words. We said, I invite you in the name of the church to the observance of a holy Lent. How, you ask, does one observe a holy Lent? I am glad you asked. To the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. And it's that specific invitation, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word, that I want to focus on this morning. Because that's the invitation into this season. It's the way we use this season for the growth tool that it's supposed to be. And for all of our sakes, not trying to cover everything at once, we're going to look at two aspects of that invitation. Self-examination and repentance as a unit, and fasting. We're going to look at those two pieces of the Lenten invitation together. So first, by self-examination and repentance. Now, we should do this all the time. We don't just set all of our repentance and self-examination aside for one season a year. We should do this regularly, but this is sort of extra self-examination and repentance. Sort of like there are different levels of cleaning, say, of your teeth. So there's like daily brushing, and then there's what the dentist does, and then somewhere in between is those like last 2 days before your dentist appointment when you do all of your flossing. This is designed sort of like a deep cleaning kind of season. So Jesus, at the very beginning of Jesus' public ministry, as he begins to preach the gospel, we looked at this a couple weeks ago, Mark chapter 1, verse 14. Right at the beginning of his public ministry, Jesus came proclaiming the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, the kingdom of God is at hand, repent and believe in the gospel." Right at the beginning, Jesus' message involves repentance. So to repent means to acknowledge our sin, to admit it, and then turn away from it and turn to the Lord. By prayerful self-examination, the Holy Spirit can begin to work in us and show us our sin. We can then humbly admit it and turn away from it. But we can't repent, which is what the Lord tells us is necessary for following him. We can't repent from our sin if we don't honestly look inside and see what our sin is and admit it. We don't repent by just saying magic words. We actually have to see what's going on and mean it. So I've seen a young child get corrected and just start saying, "Sorry, sorry, sorry." But that was actually a way to avoid facing what they'd done wrong, not a way of honestly admitting it. Sort of say the magic words and it goes away. But we actually have to see and admit our sin. And that requires bold and honest self-examination. And the primary way that we examine ourselves, that we examine our lives, is by reading and knowing God's holy word, the Bible, and allowing the Holy Spirit to work in us as we read. We listen to God's word about his way and the life of his kingdom. We don't make up for ourselves what's right and wrong. We don't decide for ourselves what God really cares about. We don't sit in judgment on God and decide which things he says we personally need to follow or not. But through prayerful self-examination, we can come to repentance. But it is so easy for us to just explain away our actions or our inactions. It is so easy for us to think that whatever we do isn't really a big deal. Maybe what they do, but what we do, we have an explanation for. Don't do that. It takes courage and humility to admit that what we have done is really wrong, that it's really sin, and that doing or neglecting to do something is in fact contrary to God's plan and God's call. And so we need to admit that. We get help with that. We don't have to do it by ourselves. But when we find sin in our lives, we are called by God to repent and turn away. Always. So it is wrong to gossip, to talk critically about people because it feels good. It's wrong to talk about people instead of to them when there's an issue. God's word specifically tells us not to do that, and that it's damaging to ourselves and to others. It is wrong to look at pornography. It's culturally acceptable. It's considered normal. It's contrary to God's plan for human flourishing. It is exploitative. It damages people's views of others, and it damages the ability for husband and wife to be what God intends. It is wrong and sin. It's wrong and sin to be sexually intimate with anyone you're not married to. It is wrong to spend all of your money on yourself and neglect the poor and the needy around us and around the world. It is wrong to neglect prayer and worship. And when we engage in honest, prayerful self-examination defined by the Word of God, and we find sin in our hearts and lives, we admit it. We don't explain it away or say it doesn't really matter. We admit it to God, and then we make hard decisions to change our lives. We can get help with this. We are not expected to do all of this ourselves. We rely on the Holy Spirit as well as the church, but we are called to repent, as Jesus tells us, to turn away from our sin. But we can't repent unless we do the honest self-examination to see our sin. We can't repent, as Jesus tells us to, unless we're willing to admit that something we do or didn't do is wrong. But our Lord calls us to self-examination and repentance. And so I want to give you a tool in this. In your bulletin today, we haven't gotten there yet, but we will in a little bit. Something titled The Confession and Litany of Penitence. You're more than welcome to turn there now, but we will look at it in a little bit. But I want to actually encourage you to take your bulletin home with you and keep it throughout Lent. If you lose it, we will print you another one. It's available in the prayer book. We can point you to it. We will email it to you. If this is a helpful tool, then we will make sure you have it, no matter how many times you lose it. But what I want to encourage you to do is read a petition or two, you know, a sentence, a little paragraph thing or two, and take a few minutes to prayerfully examine yourself around those things. Maybe even write it down privately. You don't need to share it with other people. But the goal here is not to convince yourself that you've sinned equally in every category, but to give you the ability to honestly look at things in your own life. Do one or two each day. When you get to the end, start over. Do it again. I'm going to encourage you not to try to do the whole thing every day because it's long, and just to be honest, because it's so long and gives you so many things to think about, we are going to be tempted to skip the one we really need to think about. Don't do that. So the first one goes like this. The first petition in that says, "For all our unfaithfulness and disobedience, for the pride, vanity, and hypocrisy of our lives, Lord, have mercy upon us, for we have sinned against you." And so you ask yourself, Lord, how have I been disobedient and unfaithful? Where do I display inappropriate pride or personal vanity or hypocrisy? And admit that to be sin and ask for God's help in changing. And it is absolutely essential that we do things like this, but we always have to do this prayerful self-examination and repentance. We need to do it because just because we're Christians doesn't mean we automatically stop sinning. But we always do this in light of the gospel of Jesus. If you came on Ash Wednesday, you didn't just get ashes on your forehead, you got them in the shape of the cross, because we do all of this under the gospel message of Jesus. We repent not to make ourselves feel better or make ourselves feel worse, but we do it because of what Jesus has done for us. When we repent and believe in him, our sins are forgiven and we are clothed with the righteousness of God. We don't hide our sin, thus keeping it from being forgiven, but we willingly admit our sin so that we can receive his true and eternal forgiveness. Jesus made the way that our sin is no longer the defining characteristic of our lives. And we then have the privilege of repentance and forgiveness in him. And we need to do this hard work, but we do it in light of and in the hope of the gospel of Jesus. And so the first and primary purpose of Lent is an extended time of prayerful self-examination and repentance. Always done in light of what Jesus has done for us. Self-examination and repentance. And second, and much more briefly, fasting. Comes up a lot when people talk about going through the season. Fasting. So in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, God's people are expected to fast. Really, to go without food periodically. And to do that is done as a sign of repentance, as a sign of dependence on God. It's a sign of our own mortality and our own weakness. It's some of us feel this. We almost instantly start to struggle if we miss one meal or two at all. Now, I do want to say not everyone should fast from food. Medical conditions, age, body image situations where not eating would not be a good idea. But those who safely can should periodically fast. And this is a good season to do that sometimes. Maybe fast from food for a meal or two, maybe, you know, lunch and dinner on the same day, and consider doing something like that once a week during this season. And when you do fast, you can then use that time to pray or read the Bible. You can use the money you would have spent on food to give away to those in need. You can use that hunger that you now feel as a reminder of your total dependence on God. Can also be a, that momentary hunger can also be a stance against the overconsumption of our culture. We can fast from other things as well. There are examples in the Bible of going without other things for a time for similar purposes. I do want to be clear that giving stuff up for Lent is not really supposed to be like New Year's resolutions for Christians. It's not actually designed to be sort of the, well, I really need to lose weight, so maybe I'll give up sweets for Lent. The idea of fasting from the idea of fasting in Lent is giving up good things that we may enjoy so that we can enjoy them again at Easter, and the enjoyment again adds to the celebration because we can now have the whatever it is that we've been going without, and that makes us even more joyful in our celebration. So we can give up good and healthy pleasures that can teach us many of these things, even if it's not fasting from food. So oftentimes people do things like give up dessert or TV or going out to eat. I like the idea personally of us all doing the same thing. That's hard to, you know, mandate, but I like the idea of us all kind of doing the same thing. So there's this unifying element. We're all in this together. The challenge is all giving up the same thing or all doing the same thing, those things are not always necessarily the same meaningful sacrifice for everybody. So for example, my dad, who can sometimes be strange, does not like chocolate. I have no explanation for that, but he does not like chocolate. And so the idea of giving up chocolate for Lent is actually not a really big deal for him. He does that all the time. Some families rarely ever go out to eat. So the idea of like not doing that isn't a particularly meaningful sacrifice because they don't do that anyway. And so if you're going to fast from something other than food, you kind of have to sort out what that might be as a way to enter into the season. But we fast in order to remind ourselves of our weakness and our dependence on God. We fast to take a stance against our own personal and cultural overconsumption. We fast to create money and time to pray and to give more. We fast because sometimes when we're fasting, God gives us additional strength against temptation. And in Lent, we are invited into the practice of fasting. And so I hope that you will personally be willing to enter into the season of Lent in some way, not just on Sunday mornings where we change the service for you so you kind of have to go through it, but actually Monday through Saturday as well. Take your bulletins home and prayerfully read through the Confession and Litany of Penitence. Do a couple petitions each day. Use that as a tool for self-examination and then repentance, which is what Jesus tells us we need to do. Be honest with yourself and with God. Make changes in the power of the Holy Spirit to turn away from sin and turn to Jesus and his way. And if you don't yet know Jesus, maybe this will be a way that it can that he can show his love for you. And fast as you're able in small doses from food, from other healthy pleasures, so that again, enjoying it again on Easter will be part of the celebration of Jesus' resurrection. And so I hope that you will enter into the keeping of Lent, that you may grow in your faithfulness and your love for the Lord. So once again, I invite you, in the name of the church, to the observance of a holy Lent, by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and almsgiving, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. Amen.